I'm not sick or struck dumb, or don't you know a kick when you see one can't quit? We're not done, we're gonna kick till the next one.
Hello fine people and welcome to The Kick. On today's episode, we avoid all puns unless we slide into them by accident, because our sports romance Kick has arrived at its one and only soccer film, Bend It Like Beckham. And out of respect for the film and our guest, I'm going to call it football henceforth. Our guest today is Jessie Tu. She has written about the lasting impact of Bend It Like Beckham for Women's Agenda, where she's a journalist. Her debut novel, A Lonely Girl is a Dangerous Thing, was published in 2020 in Australia. She's also a book critic at the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age. Her second novel, which is about a literary translator's toxic power struggle relationship with her female boss, is out in July this year. That book is called The Honey Eater. And now we welcome Jessie. Jessie, hey, what's up?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for coming on to talk about Bend It Like Beckham. I feel like in this series of seven or eight sports romance movies we're covering, this one might be the most like most fun, most has the most youthful energy possibly. But the adjective that you used in the opening line of your piece from 2023 was culture setting. And I wonder if we could start there. What about Bend It Like Beckham do you see as culture setting 20 years later?
It was such a momentous film, I think mostly because it had such a great combination of sort of a British subcontinent, Indian ethnic story combined with an ambitious young woman who wanted to succeed in a really male-dominated sport. Well, most sports are male-dominated, but especially with soccer/football, it was so of its time. And it seemed to really resonate in that era of sort of, came out in 2002, which I always forget. I always think it's a 90s film. Right? The tropes of sort of like 90s British Indian subcontinent immigration narrative, like East is East, and the comedy from like comedies like The Coomers. I think it had such a lasting impact because I know myself growing up in the early 2000s, everyone was talking about it. And even decades on, it's so easy to reference that movie. Everyone's seen it, right?
Some girls only want one thing.
Eyes down. Look sad. Indian bride never smiles. You'll ruin the bloody video.
Jess Bamra. Oh! Wants something more.
Football, shoot the ball. Your sister's getting engaged and you're sitting here watching this skinhead boy.
You must start behaving like a proper woman.
You're right!
Yeah.
Just one more day of freedom.
I was married at your age. You don't even want to learn how to cook dal.
I'm joining a girls' team.
I rubber.
Let me ask you something. What nice Indian family would want a daughter-in-law who can kick a football all day but who can't make round chapatis?
Oh. No more football.
Honey, all I'm saying is there is a reason why Sporty Spice is the only one of them without a fella.
Wicked. What is wrong with you, Jess?
Now, you're quite pretty, mate. Do something with your hair and put a bit of makeup on. You look all right.
So Bend It Like Beckham is first and foremost the story of Jess Minder, a.k.a. Jess Bamra, played by Parminder Nagra. She's a young British Indian woman who fantasizes of playing football with David Beckham, but whose only football outlet in this kind of awkward time gap seemingly between secondary school and university is just to crush pickup games in the park. And she does crush. And that's where she's spotted by Jules, played by Keira Knightley, who is a striker for a local team called the Hounslow Harriers. Jules and Jess are incredibly fast friends, and very shortly they're teammates, as their coach Joe, played by Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, agrees that Jess has the talent and the grit to immediately add to their team. And this is sort of making it sound like Benedict Beckham is like an out-and-out sports drama all leading to a big final match. And it sort of is, but I think you could argue it's just as much about family and the expectations placed on young women and how Jules and Jess withstand and accept and thwart those expectations. Jess's family, as you alluded to, they're Punjabi Sikhs who've immigrated somewhat recently, maybe a decade or two. They don't want her to play sports at all. They want her to study up, learn to cook her mother's recipes, find a promising husband like her older sister, Pinky. And Jess basically fights tooth and nail all movie to keep playing football. And Jules is facing some parallel pressures from her mom as well to give up the game and embrace a more traditional model of femininity. Sporty Spice, her mom warns her at one point, is the only one who doesn't have a fella, I believe is the quote.
Oh, that mom is such a character.
She's tough. The only other contextual details I might shout out, it's the third feature from director Gurinder Chadha, who's a rom-com expert, often makes films also about the intersection between British and Indian cultures. Her most recent Hollywood movie that people might know would be Blinded by the Light. This was the breakout role for both Parminder Nagra and Keira Knightley, who, weird fact, there's a 10-year age difference between them. I would not have known that unless every... Bet you didn't know this Bend It Like Beckham fact piece wanted to tell me. And just as a point of trivia, I think it's the most budgetarily lucrative movie we've covered in this series. They made it for $6 million and it made $78 million around the globe, which is a pretty good ratio.
Extraordinary.
Jesse, so I'm asking every guest in this series, this is kind of fundamentally like a hybrid genre exploration of the sports movie and the romance. So let's start here. How do you think those two genres, do you like how they interplay? How much do they interplay? What are your feelings?
I think it hasn't historically been done very well, the intersection between romance and the mixing of romance and sport as a genre. Because I guess if you ask me off the bat, just to list a few, the first I could come up with was like Wimbledon, which I absolutely loved. I know it was panned, but I really love that movie. Just Right with Queen Latifah and Common, I loved. Right. Although the heroine isn't really a sports person. She's a physio, I think.
That's right.
And then The Cutting Edge, which you guys did in your previous episode. I think it's been hard for screenwriters in Hollywood to write about sports and romance, because to make it truly about sports and romance, you need both protagonists, both of them to love, both love interests of the opposite sex to be sports players. And so right off the bat, historically speaking, the world's more invested and interested in men who play sports, and women are often the spectators. But if we think of sports slash romance as like separate genres that exist in a movie, then we're often given movies where the male lead is the sports star or the sports fanatic, and we have the female interest off to the side. So I'm thinking like Fever Pitch, Cinderella Man, Warrior, For the Love of the Game, like heaps of baseball kind of movies.
Yeah.
And I think it's because, you know, like men always have to be measured by their sexual and romantic ability to attract a woman by its side. So the woman is often there just to remind audiences that the male protagonist is sort of like an upstanding aspirational figure. but for women also to have like the sports star status ambition of her own, like Jess does in this movie, that's when Hollywood balks. I think that's when it fails. And I think that's why historically we haven't had a real breadth of examples of the mix of genre, which Bend It Like Beckham does so well.
So right before this, I've got an episode in the can about the movie Blue Crush, and our guests on that one basically argued that the relationship between like Kate Bosworth and Michelle Rodriguez in that movie is such that they should have just gotten together, and there kind of is this like superfluous man on the side here. Keira Knightley herself has said as much, that she could see a version of Bennett like Beckham where it's just Jules and Jess, and that is both the teammate drama and inspiration and the romance. What do you think of that possible alternate reality of Bennett like Beckham?
I think your guest was absolutely correct, and totally, I agree. In a world that didn't valorize heterosexuality, Jess and Jules would have naturally got together. You know, they love the same things. They get along. They're the embodiment of a wholesome and healthy relationship.
Right. You wrote about this movie last year during the Australian Women's National Team 2023 World Cup run. And you kind of wrote about it through the context of how far women's football had come since 2003. Because Jess and Jules look up to like Mia Hamm in the U.S. It seems that there's little to no professional opportunities for women's soccer players in the U.K. at the time. Do you have any reflections on what the state of women's football in the early 2000s was like?
Unfortunately, I was just starting high school around that time, so I don't remember. I wasn't a sports fan, and I still don't really closely follow sports. I played Ultimate Frisbee when I was in high school. I was kind of like that kind of nerd. So even the space of soccer, I'm just like, I wasn't really over. But even seeing, you know, my favorite scene in this movie is the one where Jess goes to Jules's bedroom and she puts on the tape. And when they watch the women's college football league, and then that was just, that just kills. Anytime there's a scene in a movie where a woman is aspiring towards anything that's away from childbearing, motherhood, marriage, anything to do with like acquiring sort of traditional modes of womanhood, I just lose it. I just think it's great. I lose it in the sense that I love seeing women aspire to things just for them.
Where is our Ultimate Frisbee rom-com? Why don't we have that?
Oh my God, dude, I know, right? Where is Ultimate Frisbee in the Olympics is my question.
That is, it's
huge.
Yeah.
Isn't it huge in the US?
I don't know about huge. We definitely it was definitely a thing in college for sure. Like people would go out to the park and play.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, totally. I played competitively in my 20s. And now I'm in my 30s, and I will swear, even in my 20s, I was like, we were so sure that in a few years' time, come every Olympics, we were like, next time it's going to happen, next time it's going to happen. And it just never happens. I don't know why, because it's like mind-blowingly spectacular to watch. Like people literally fly to
non-stop action.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I would tell Hollywood to get on it, but maybe the world needs to get on it first. This script sets up just so many different kinds of conflict between Jess and Jules and their families and the world. There's conflicts over gender equality, gender performance, sexuality, racism, generational expectations, pressures on and from communities of immigrants. Class is in there too, for sure. Mm. And it really endeavors to sort through a lot. I wonder to you, Jesse, which of those conflicts is handled most interestingly in the film? What jumps out?
I think the intersection of her gender, her race, and her ambitions. I think that is what is most defiantly and so well explored, because it doesn't judge any of the characters. Like we see, we obviously have the mother character as a sort of antagonist. She's the one kind of suppressing Jess and not letting her go to soccer practice and, you know, asking her to, you know, learn how to cook and do all those things that she learned as a young daughter. And she, like we see that the mother she has her agenda, and we still sort of understand where she's coming from, like because a lot of immigrant mothers, their idea of love and their language of love is so different to the way that love is taught to us in the West. And so Jess grew up in the West, so she is like just trying to navigate her relationship with her own aspirations while trying to fight off this sort of antagonistic mother who's trying to put her in a box and shape her in the way that she doesn't want to be shaped. And I think what the filmmaker does so well in this movie is, and the film itself is, it doesn't place judgment on any of the characters. Her sister is a bit irritating. Mm-hmm. and, you know, sort of a bit basic, I think. Her sister is really sort of basic and is like, just like wear clothes, you know, like do pretty things. And even her sister is, at the end of the day, quite lovable. And obviously, you know, her relationship with her father, which we'll touch on later, it's just done in such a tender, non-judgmental way. I think the film is so good at giving each of the characters their perspectives without making us as the audience member judge them in a very harsh way.
And I was happy because I wasn't sneaking off and lying to you. I didn't ask to be good at football. Guru Nanak must have blessed me. Anyway, there was a scout from America there today, and he's offered me a place at a top university with a free scholarship and a chance to play football professionally. And I really want to go. And if I can't tell you what I want now, then I'll never be happy whatever I do.
Totally agree. And I feel like the moment where that like really clicked for me wasn't even in dialogue. It wasn't even characters arguing with each other. Because I will, if I had one criticism of the movie, sometimes it's like at the beginning of every act, it kind of like resets all the conflicts and shuffles the pieces around. And it's like, well, now they're worried that she's not getting married. Now they're worried that she is getting married. She's lying about having a job. She's lying about going to, you know, so it kind of, that gets to be a little muddled for me. But I actually think the underrated moment are all visual, like during the sister's wedding at the end, which is like intercut with the climactic soccer game. It's just like a juxtaposition of different people's definition of joy. And it's said like without a word, where the mom stops looking for Jess at the wedding and goes to dance, and it's just this kind of purely visual statement of just like, if people just you know, accepted their own definition of bliss and let other people have what they want to pursue, everything will be great. And that totally goes, I think, to like the lack of judgment that you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. It was very beautifully shot. The framing and the way it was cut, the way it was edited, I agree. It was really, really great storytelling, great visual storytelling.
It is like the dads in the movie who have the seemingly more tender or maybe quietly supportive relationships with the daughters, and the moms who are a little tougher. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I hover between thinking it's an honest depiction of father-daughter relationships, at least during the teenage years for girls who are more interested in male stuff, and sure. Then thinking it's a bit misogynist, like Hollywood hates mothers. But I think in this case, in this Bender Like Beckham, Jess and her dad in their scenario, I think it's definitely the former. But yeah, 'cause I can't help but sympathize with this depiction, only because I have to say personally, I think my father placed less limitations on me than my mother growing up. I was sort of like Jess. I had a really extremely grueling relationship with my mother. My mother's very different from me. She wanted a very traditional way of being for me. And I was sort of, I didn't play sports, but I was a tomboy. I did like nerdy stuff. Like I loved movies. I loved books. That was all I was interested in. Didn't want to comb my hair. I was just like a grub basically. And I think, I don't know, mothers maybe have a tough time seeing a younger version of themselves, and so they have a harder time negotiating that relationship.
I don't want her to make the same mistakes that her father made of accepting life, accepting situations. I want her to fight. And I want her to win. Because I've seen her playing, she's brilliant.
It's not harmful, I think, in this way. The way that Bender Like Beckham does it, I didn't mind it. I thought it was lovely to see. Also, it's just like lovely. We see so few representations of tender, loving relationships, loving sort of generosity from straight men. And to see it in these fathers is just so lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? Yeah, what do you think?
Oh, I agree. Jess's dad, played by Anupam Kher, is just like really, you know, he just has that gravitas from 30 years of making movies in India. And he's also like a famous talk show host there. And he just like hits exactly that right kind of warm beat of like, I know what I'm supposed to make you do, but like, I also see you as a person. And there, I mean, like, that's just such, that's just like such fantasy stuff from children of, or like, it's something that many children want, where it's just like, just give me that moment where it's like, tell me you see me as a person and let me go do what I want to do. And it's very satisfying.
Oh man. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Especially for immigrant kids, right?
How do you think the soccer from the actors is, Jesse?
Well, I'm not a good judge because I don't watch a lot of soccer, but it looked really pro. Yeah. But I think the other female soccer players in the film on their team, they must have been professional players because they looked pro. You know,
you
especially
are correct.
The games that we saw them play.
Yeah.
When they went to Belgium, or where did they fly to?
Germany.
Germany. Yeah. All looked pro. This was my first time, like I think most people, first time seeing Keira Knightley, and it was great. I thought they both pulled it off really well.
Yeah, she's got some trick where she has like the ball like resting on the back of her head, and she like twists her shoulders and turns around and kicks it without missing a beat, where it's just like, this person trained a little bit, this is pretty good.
Yeah. I wonder how long they trained for.
You know, your run-of-the-mill internet research says several months, and you got that cool scene where Jess is in the backyard with the laundry, and she does like is able to like bend the ball around the laundry line, which is cool.
So
I think it's, if anything, I think sometimes it must be really scary as a filmmaker to be like, I want the actors to try as hard as they possibly can to like look like real athletes, but I really need to be ready to not hang them out to dry, visually speaking, if they can't make it look awesome. And so I think sometimes you can feel like a lot of the sports in this movie is like, you know, cut into really, really tiny pieces, like foot, ball, head, you know, like you don't see a lot of like full fluid motions. And I wonder almost like, could we have turned the actors loose a little bit more? But I don't know. I think maybe you settle on that visual style earlier to kind of protect the performers a little. I don't know.
Hi. That was brilliant. Do you play for any side?
Yeah, like you, Southall United sorry squad.
Play for Hounslow Harriers, girls' side. It's closed season at the moment, but we've got a summer tournament coming up. You should come along, have a trial.
A trial? Think I'm good enough?
Yeah. Watched you a couple of times, you've gotten really good. I don't know, it's up to our coach, but I know we could do with some new blood.
Let's play football.
Yeah.
I'm Jules.
Oh, yes.
Hi.
Jesse, can I move to some lighter fare, some sillier questions? You down for this?
Yeah, totally down for silliness.
Okay. In retrospect, I know David Beckham is like a huge athlete, celebrity, what have you. Bending Like Beckham is like a very it's like a very interesting title because it's like totally linked to like one person's cult of personality, but it also just has like an unbelievable ring to it. How do you feel like that title has aged?
Brilliantly.
Yeah.
I think it's super clever. I think they lucked out because Beckham is still and continues to be decades on such a huge global superstar. You know, like last year, didn't he have that Netflix doco or something? I didn't.
You're right.
I'm not a huge Beckham fan, so I didn't follow it. But yeah, he's like, his importance has sustained itself so much so that this film has been sort of carried along with it.
Yeah, totally.
And the title, it's become such a catchphrase.
Yeah.
And like you said, so it's got such a ring to it. I think they really lucked out with this title. I think it's a great movie title.
And alliteration is just timeless. If you
exactly.
find a good alliteration, it'll last the years. Can you think of an athlete in 2024 who is kind of like ready and waiting to like have a movie like linked to their ethos the way this one is to David Beckham? Or who would you want to see?
Yeah, this will probably be horrifying to a few people if I say my first response, but I will say it. But like, I just thought of Travis Kelce just because he's become an appendix to the most famous person in the world. And byproduct, people want to know about him. People want more of him. I think if I was like thinking capitalistically, people would fucking rush to see a movie about like kill it like Kelce or something like that. He's so popular. And it's like, this guy, he's like, what? I don't know, because I don't follow the NFL. I don't know if he's like a good player, but I do know that even before he started dating Taylor Swift, he had like a piece in Vanity Fair, like a huge, like not a huge, but a feature article on him. So somehow he's managed to like penetrate the social and cultural milieu of upper kind of coastal elites. And, you know, like film goers, I think, would be part of that group. So I don't know. Is that a stupid response?
I think it's an amazing response. I just was not expecting it at all. But I think you put on like your film studio executive cap for a second. And I think that could make a lot of money.
It would make a lot of money, right?
One scene I would love to unpack. Do you recall the nightclub scene in this film?
I love that scene.
What do you love about it? Please. Because okay. I find it like hilarious and baffling, and I just want to unpack it. So what do you love about it?
Okay, so to your point, hilarious because of Jonathan Rhys-Meyers dancing, right?
Yes. He makes the choice to dance with his mouth wide open the whole time.
Oh my God. That in itself deserves an award, that dance. And also his shirt was kind of, I don't know, questionable.
It's very weird. It's jet black and it's like open several buttons and it's kind of like early 2000s like club promoter chic.
Exactly. Yeah. So the fashion is fantastic. Also Keira Knightley and the fact that she's like her whole back is exposed was like a bit racy for me when I was like 12 and watching this. I was like, wow, like teenage girls can get away dressed like this. I was like, whoa, I'm like inspired. But no, I really like nightclub dance scenes in general. I'm kind of like Wesley Morris. I think Wesley Morris has said in the past that his all-time favorite kind of scenes are nightclub scenes. And I think he says it's because of it's kind of like a space of possibility and sexuality. And it's like, oh, you don't know what's going to happen. There's a sense of like futurity in the like bodies colliding. There's like... It's erotic, right? It's erotic.
Totally.
But it's dark as well, and there's music. So all those things I think make you know, and the film does this scene so well, without sort of dragging along too much.
Let's get a taxi.
Okay. Losing to the Jerrys on penalties comes natural to you, English. You're part of the tradition here.
Enough about football. Come on, you're dancing with me.
No.
You are! Go. No. Come on, I'm not taking no for an answer.
Yeah, it's so much a movie about, like, the rules and the pressures and the strictures and all the things on these young women. And then they like go into this nightclub and like all of a sudden it's just like, where is anyone in the room? How old is anyone? How is this allowed? Why does this have, why do people feel like they're 30 and it's like a children's field trip? Like the energy is crazy, but you're right. It's just like it's like a liminal space where there's no rules at all.
Yeah, exactly. And it's alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah. No rules and no back of shirts.
Yeah.
shirts have no backs here.
I know. It's such a, and also that piece that, that top that Keira Knightley wears, it is so of its time. Like you said of Jonathan Rhys-Meyers top, it's like iconic of that era.
And it's a fun choice too for a character who has been like dressing in like, like sleeveless sweatshirts for the rest of the movie.
Yes, that's like, right.
This is my going out outfit.
Exactly. And sort of such a blatant signal, like, hey, Joe, here I am. Like, take me, you know?
Okay. And how about, what do you think is Jess's best underdog quirk? I got a few options for you. Is it the fact that she tries out for the team in tennis shoes? She doesn't have cleats. Is it the hiding her gym bag in the garden? Or I also offer you kneeing the head of lettuce into the air behind her mom when she's banned from football? Or other options?
Probably the last one.
Yeah. That's a fun montage.
Yeah, it is. It is. Just because I've seen so many, the second one that you said, hiding the football bag, that occurs in so many movies. True. So like this week I watched Velvet Goldmine for the first time because I was reading Christine Vachon's book about producing. She produced that with Todd Haynes.
Oh, cool.
And also, and you know, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. Exactly.
Yeah.
Can you believe he was 19 when he shot that film? 19.
No.
Mind-blowing, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was like 3 years before Bend It, like Beckham.
Right.
And there's a scene where Christian Bale does the same thing. He like takes off his coat when he exits the house and hides that coat. And then he's like in his queer adjacent sort of like proud shirt with all the badges. I think Jess and the lettuce is a iconic underdog. It's a lettuce.
Yeah, you can take the girl off the pitch, but you can't stop her from kicking the food around.
Exactly.
Jesse, we come to the penultimate segment here, which is called Truth or Trivia. And you can elect to try and answer a question about movies or life as honestly as possible, or we can try some trivia from the film. What would be your preference?
Let's do trivia. That sounds fun.
Okay. So Anupam Kher, who plays the father, Jess's father in this movie, he plays another sort of iconically doting father in a film by the same director. Do you know the film? I can give hints.
Okay, give hints. Go.
It's an adaptation of some classic English lit. Another Gurinder Chadha movie.
I have no idea. I can't think of a classic English lit film that's been transposed through the immigrant narrative. I'm guessing it's like a narrative about non-white people.
Yeah, it's a movie called Bride and Prejudice.
He
basically plays the Mr. Bennett role, which I imagine he'd be very good at. Another piece of trivia, if you want it. Bennett Like Beckham is the first Western movie to be shown on TV. In what country? A country doesn't show a lot of Western movies on TV.
Okay, so I literally watched a video before we started recording, and
okay.
I think it revealed the answer for me. I think I don't know this, by the way. Chance hasn't prompted me with anything. I'm guessing is it North Korea?
That's right. Yep.
Yay.
Very well done. And they said it was substantially edited, which I imagine is probably true.
I wonder which scenes they edited out.
Yeah, I'd be interested in that. Jesse, so this podcast is going to end this sports romance kick with the release of the movie Challengers. It comes out in the States in late April. I'm not sure when it drops in Australia. Is this a movie you're anticipating at all?
I've already bought the tickets.
No, you have? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
What, does it come out real soon for you guys?
It comes out in two or 3 weeks in Australia.
Wow.
The 17th of April, I think.
Oh, you're getting it early. Great.
I'm so excited because when I first watched this trailer several months ago, and I'm like a trailer fiend. I basically spend all my time on YouTube looking at upcoming trailers. I freaking love trailers. And this one caught me mostly because of the director, first of all. He's like directed amazing stuff.
Yep.
And Zendaya, obviously.
Totally.
She's the it girl of our generation. Can't really say anything bad about her. I don't know any of the two male leads. I don't really care. I think we're just going to go see it for Zendaya. And I think people are going to see it just to see Zendaya in a threesome, which like I think the trailer insinuates.
Yeah.
Because like honestly, we're all just sick voyeurists. Uh-huh. And I think that scene alone, people are going to buy a $25 ticket just for that scene alone.
There you go.
Yeah, what do you think? What are you excited about?
I'm jazzed about it. I like that from the trailer, they do play up the like, oh, well, they all hook up. But I assume that the movie is like, most of the movie must take place after that. It must be about like the fallout of her deciding to coach one of them and these two people competing. And that's like another element of this genre that I really love is like, find me people who have like romantic feelings for each other and then have to like go head to head.
Oh yeah, that is so brilliantly said. Yeah, I agree.
Think that's what I'm jazzed about. You already have tickets bought. That's great. No other guest has had tickets already purchased. So,
I like a movie release is a huge event for me. Super psyched.
Well, you somewhat self-deprecatingly said that you spend your life on YouTube, but we know that's not true. You have a book coming out this summer. Jesse, is there anything you want to plug or direct people to before we get out of here?
Oh, I'm on Instagram, but you could just Google my name and then Instagram and you'll find me.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. Appreciate it, Jesse.
Thanks for having me. It's been so much fun, Chance. Thank you.